Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. We're back for another Mailbag Monday.
Woohoo!
Angel, what do we got here today?
Well, we have a letter from Garrett. I'd just like to read first before we jump into the questions. It says, "Hi, Joe. Thank you so much for your ministry. God is using you to shape our lives for His purpose. I believe this with my whole heart. I've learned so much from you about what the Bible says about being a man, husband, and father. I frequently talk about what I've learned from your podcast and from attending your marriage conferences at Church of the Highlands with friends, family, and sometimes total strangers. I tell them your stories and about your perspective. It fills me up. Your delivery and style match up with me and how I receive things so well. I appreciate you, your family, and your team for what you do and who you are. I am grateful. Thanks again." How nice.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. So let's go ahead and jump in the questions.
Okay. Here we go.
The first two questions are kind of similar, so I'm going to kind of read both of those and you can answer them. The first one is, do you think there is an age where kids can genuinely be born again? I've heard of people saying that they were born again at age 4 or 5, and I'm just not sure if that is possible. The second one that kind of goes along with that is, I love our church and my kids love their children's church. On the way home a couple of Sundays ago, my 7-year-old told me they speak in tongues now. The teacher believes that kids can receive the Holy Spirit at very young ages, but I always thought you had to at least get to the age of accountability before you can actually be born again.
Good questions. God asks those a lot. You know, when I was a children's minister for 10 years at a local church, and you encountered everything, every kind of question you can imagine. So people would ask about the age. So, well, the Bible does talk about the age of accountability, but it doesn't say what that age is. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't say if it's 3, 5. And so I go with my own kids. I said, I've had kids. All of mine were born again at an early age because, you know, we gave an altar call every Sunday at church, every Wednesday at church, starting at age 5. So 5 to 12-year-olds were always in a children's church atmosphere. We always gave an altar call, and we prayed for kids. And so I've had my, you know, we had little certificates. They would give you, you know, there's your certificate on the wall, and it's framed up in their bedroom. He was born again, you know, in this day and this year. And so I had one of my children run into the kitchen on a Saturday morning. They'd been watching the Roadrunner. We were cooking pancakes, and kids ran in. Hey, Dad, I just gave my heart to you. Now, there were 7. Mm-hmm. Now, they got born at 5. You know, so they're 7 years old, almost 8, and they run in the kitchen and say, hey, Dad, I just gave my heart to Jesus. No, sure, you got saved when you were 5. No, Dad, I was just sitting there watching the Roadrunner, and I was just thinking while I was watching the Roadrunner, you know, there really is a Jesus. He really was the Son of God. He really did die for me, and I really am born again. So I just prayed that simple prayer that I prayed every Sunday for the last, 3 years. Mm-hmm. Father, I ask you, Jesus Christ, come inside. I believe He's your Son, that He died for me and you raised from the dead. I confess Him now as my Savior. So I quoted Romans 10, 9, and 10, like He quoted every Sunday, every Wednesday for the last several years. But He said, but this time, Dad, I really meant it. It was true. And so I said, well, great. Here, have a pancake. Go back and finish watching the Roadrunner. So I tell people, when can you get born again? Well, whenever you believe you can. There is no age. I remember when I was young in the church I was in, great church, they would not let us get saved until we were 12 years old. They thought we couldn't understand. They thought we did not fully understand. There's not a book I've ever read, both in theology or in any Bible school I was at, that said that.
Right.
It's different for every age, every culture. It's just some mature at 5, some mature at 55. It's just different. So I believe, hey, my child got saved at age 7, almost 8, you know, watching the Roadrunner, gave their heart to Jesus.
And I do feel like children have a tendency to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
I can remember my mother got born again when I was in just starting the first grade, and I was young.
Yes.
I could have waited a year. So how old are you in the first grade? Are you 6?
I was 5, but I think almost I was, turning 6.
Yeah, that's how old I was.
Yes.
And I remember attending church and being very aware of the presence of God and praying, and I gave my heart to Jesus at the age of five, and I've never looked back.
Samuel, the Bible story, Samuel was 5 years of age when his mother gave him to Eli at the temple to mm-hmm. live forever. And so God's speaking to Samuel when he's five. He's waking uh-huh. up and calling his name. And so he said, "Here I am, Lord." And said, he's at five. He's talking to God Almighty. God's listening. I mean, he's listening to God. He's talking to God. He runs and tells Eli. Hey, and Eli recognizes, yeah, mm-hmm. that's God. Just say, "Okay, here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do?" And so he quoted God. So that I have a biblical reference of a five-year-old hearing the voice of God Almighty himself. Uh-huh. So you can't put it in a box. Some people just, and I've had some people say, you know, I was 30 before I ever got saved. I didn't know there was a Savior. But all of a sudden, I was watching a thing. I remember one buddy of mine said, "I saw the thing about the Six-Day War when Israel became a nation." Mm-hmm. I've been in church all my life, just didn't believe anything, didn't attend faithfully. But I knew when I was watching the news, there really is a God. Israel has just got, they got Jerusalem back. They become a nation. There is a God, and there's a timeline going. That Bible's true. Mm-hmm. And he got on his knees. He gave his heart to Jesus in the living room in front of a television set. And he's been going to Israel. I mean, he's been 40 times, taking trips and stuff. Wonderful minister of God today, and incredible what he knows. He got born again watching a TV program at 30. Mm-hmm. Mine got born again at 5. I got born again at 5. It's just, it's different. For right. everybody, it's different.
It is, and I got born again at 5. But now, here's the thing. We started attending a church where I always like to say it this way. You had one foot in hell and the other on a banana peel. So I went down to the altar every week.
Oh, man.
And so I got saved. Wanted to make sure it stuck. make sure I didn't want to, the flames of hell were flickering near that altar every week. So, you know, I mean, I genuinely gave my heart to Jesus when I was five.
Yes.
Now, the fear of hell made me go down several times to, you know, seal the deal. But I agree. I don't think there can be a real age limit on it.
Because
now you think about it, if you became a man at age 12 in the Bible,
true.
At age 5, you're given way more credit in those days
sure.
than we do today.
I'm sure. And again, we just don't put anybody in a box. I remember I got born again when I was 21. I drifted away, came back to church, gave my heart to Jesus. And that summer, I got water baptized. Mm-hmm. I've been water baptized when I was 12. But I realized, man, I really do believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I really believe, you know, so I told the pastor, "Hey, I want to get baptized." He said, "You ever been baptized before?" "Yeah, when I was 12, but I got the real deal now. I want to go mm-hmm. down again." And so he baptized it. Well, I came back 2 weeks later and said, "I want to get baptized again." "Well, Joe, you just got baptized." "I know, but I want to get soaked again. I need to marinate." So 3 times that summer, I got water baptized. People said, "What are you doing?" "I just want to make sure it takes." Because you're still a baby when you get born again. You're not mature, but you mm-hmm. do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You did give your heart to Jesus. But now begins the process of a lifelong deal of growing,
right.
growing things of God. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, but they get back up. You're not perfect. Many times you would see people at the altar getting born again. Well, it didn't take. No, it took. You're still a baby. You're still growing in the things of God. You need to spend time in the Word of mm-hmm. God. Spend time around the saints of God. You're going to grow. You're going to fall. You get to repent every day. You get to forgive every day. It's the process of growing up. Mm-hmm. So you didn't become a saint. I mean, you do have your name in heaven. You're going to heaven, but, you know, you're not water walker just yet.
Yeah, but sometimes I think we treat kids as if they don't, you know, can't think.
I know.
I mean, I always treated my kids like little adults.
Yes,
because,
thank you.
And we talk to them that way. I mean, it's not that they can't grasp it. They just can't grasp the enormity of it.
Yes.
But it's not that they can't grasp a portion of it.
Well, the apostles got mad at Jesus because mm-hmm. children hung around him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they got mad. They kept trying to send them away. He said, "Don't send them away, for such is the kingdom of God."
Right.
These kids understand more than you do. It's a very simple process. God's good and God's love, and they understand that.
Yeah.
And so that's why kids love hanging out with Jesus. Yeah, he'd give them piggyback rides. I'm sure he told funny stories. Kids love to be around. I've got kids. I got a big family. Nobody likes an adult that's rude and mean. So Jesus
right.
was not rude and mean. He was fun to be with.
Yeah, so I would say don't get caught up on the age.
Yes.
Get caught up on, hey, man, if my kid's saying, I'm born again, and I would just start encouraging them and start sharing.
Yes.
Get them involved in a Bible study that's their age.
Yes.
You know, and keep them involved in church.
Yes.
And then that will grow.
The growth. It's going to be there.
Yeah. All right. So here's another question. I just got married last year, and I wondered your opinion on couples spending time away from each other. My wife and I met at work, and we are together almost the entire day. Then we go home and are together all evening. What do you and Angel do? Are you together all the time? If you are, how do you manage to not drive each other nuts? Great question. Yes, we are together 24/7.
Yes, we are.
We travel together. And we drive each other nuts the most is when we are actually driving. And yeah. That is the truth.
Angel, jump in on it. Jump in on this.
Well, I mean, it is a challenge to spend time because we are together all the time. We yes. travel together, do services together, podcast together. So really, there's rarely time that we aren't. Now, we're different. Joe likes to go into his office and be by himself.
Yes.
And for him, that's kind of his time. And I rarely go in there because it looks kind of boring to me, to be honest with you. But and then I have freedom to watch HGTV and the shows I want to watch. So I'm always happy when he does that. But the for me, I'm much more social.
Yes.
So I usually will have at least usually a night out a week with my girlfriends or yes. a lunch. And so I try to, you know, just do that. So, but it is a challenge. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I wouldn't encourage you to take separate vacations necessarily.
No, I don't want to do that.
Although I wouldn't think there's anything wrong with a guy's weekend or something like that. But I would say, you know, you need to sit down and just set your own boundaries because it can be. Because if you're married to somebody that's, well, my language of love is totally quality time. If you love me, I don't care if you buy me gifts. I don't care if you sweep the floor. Occasionally, if you want to clean a bathroom, that might mean something to me. But really, if you're spending time with me, is what I love.
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily Joe's language of love.
No, and you marry your total opposite. One mm-hmm. of the shocking things in our seminars is when I say, you marry exact opposite. When God looked at Adam when he'd made creation the first 6 days, the first time God said, not good, he was looking at a man. Mm-hmm. And the first time God said, not good, he was looking at Adam. He said, not good. Adam said, what's not good? You, not good. You're alone. So he didn't make another Adam. He made a person named Eve, somebody totally opposite of the man he had made. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like if you can read the liberal translations, it's almost God said, hey, she's good at everything you're not good at. Mm-hmm. You're good at everything she's not good at. Two are better than one. Mm-hmm. Not because you agree, but because you see the problem from a different viewpoint. So, yes, when you get married, you marry your opposite. But mm-hmm. it's a gift from God. Which, you know, I married somebody that's good at everything I'm not good at. But we still have time. It's not necessarily alone time. I like to read. You know, I love going into my office. That's when I study. Mm-hmm. You know, I get into something, I just disappear. I don't know what planet I'm on. And so Angel will come every time. Joe, you need something to drink? Can I get you a nice tea? Can I fix you a sandwich? She waits on me hand and foot, but she doesn't bother me. But there's times when, you know, when we're together, I like being with her. I like sitting next to her. Like I said, we travel all the time. We're sitting next to each other on a plane or in an airport or, you know, the seminar. I like talking to her. I like asking her questions. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And so we're great for one another because we love being together. But we don't have to be. When Angel, the first time after we were married, Joe, do you mind if we go? I got some girlfriends here that I've known a long time. No, I think it'd be great. Go out with them. You don't mind? No, I don't mind at all. I'm going to my office. I'm going to fix me a cheese sandwich. I'm going to be in hog heaven. I'll see you when you get back. And so we probably have a unique marriage in the sense that we're very comfortable with one another. Mm-hmm. And we understand that we are very different, but we do believe God put us together. We're a gift to one another. And we say it all the time. Man, you're a gift to me. I just cannot believe, you know, that we even got married. It's just been such a miracle. And I love being married. I mm-hmm. love it. But we are different. You don't marry your, you know, there's a bumper sticker in Texas that says, when two people are just alike, one of you's not needed.
That's
but
true.
We don't take separate vacations. Man, if I'm going to have some time off, I'm going with my wife.
Well, and I mean, you're my best friend.
Yes.
So I want to be with you.
Yes.
But I will say this, since you said you work together. You got to be careful not to take that home all the time.
Yes.
I mean, you have to have the downtime.
Oh, yes.
So that you do have the friendship time.
Yes.
So, but as far as having your own private time, I don't think there's anything at all wrong with it. I mean, I need it. I need it sometimes.
Yes.
I need to just go hang with the girls.
Yep.
So
you don't go on a fishing trip with your buddies or a hunting trip. Go play golf with your buddies. You don't have to take your wife everywhere or drive the opposite. Hey, Joe, I'm going to play golf with my girlfriends. Great. Have a good time. You need to get you anything. No, it's good because that keeps your life sharp. As iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. you know, one of the great things about being married, you realize every time you come back from a relationship with friends or hunting or fishing or golf carts, I don't care what you're doing, you ought to come back better than when you left.
Yeah.
You ought to have somebody making sharper. You know, every time I got with guys, I said, man, he's a better husband than me. He's a better father. He's doing better. I never thought about doing that. So you need to get around other people. You don't want to get isolated just unto yourself. That's a very dangerous place to get. We need one another. Mm-hmm. We need one another.
That's good. All right. So here's another question. Is it okay to pay my kids for their help so that they learn the value of money?
Well, you know, now when I grew up, in way back when, about the turn of the century, when I grew up, you didn't get paid for anything. You just did what you were asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we hoed gardens and raked the leaves and did stuff, had to go milk the cows, you know, let the cows out, let them in at night. Like, you never even thought about getting asked to get paid. Your mom fixed you three great meals, you know, dad and you had fun, and we went camping. But no, but today, you know, when I became a parent, I would pay my kids. I said, okay, I'm going to give you so much, you know, a week, and here's what I need you to do. So there are chores. I said, listen. I own you for a half a day every Saturday. And this is me. This is not God. This is Joe talking.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, I said, I own you for a half a day every Saturday. I got certain chores that need to be done, you know, rake the yard, you know, wash the towels, do the dishes. It was just good. So by noon, if you get up early, by noon, you're free. Mm-hmm. Go do what you want. Go where you want. Have a good time. Got to be back by curfew, and I want to know who you're hanging with because I have rules about who you can hang with.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to have freedom. I want you to do that. But yeah, there are things, and I will pay you for those 4 hours. And there were times, you know, I mean, when the yard didn't get raked right, I said, I'm not paying you for that. That's a sorry job. If you do that as an employee, they're going to fire you. You got to do a better job than that. So that was a long Saturday.
I can imagine.
But it turned out really good for them.
Well, you know, I was not paid. I had ironing. Laundry was my job.
Yes.
And actually, to this day, that's very therapeutic to me. I like to do laundry, and
yes,
I like to
do.
Iron. I know, it's weird. It's weird. But one thing that my dad did when I was, I think it was started about when I was 14, he just said, you know what, you don't ever know what your economic situation is going to be when you get married.
Mm, very good.
Or when you go out into to the world. So about twice a month, I think it was, he would give me a budget, and I would have to buy the groceries and cook dinner for a family of five. And sometimes he would give me $10. And that week we would have very runny spaghetti.
Yeah, lots of spaghetti.
Lots of sauce, not a lot of meat. And then, you know, he may give me, you know, $50. It just depended. And so that those kind of things are such valuable lessons that are important. And I think it's very – there's Joe has a great book called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without. I would highly suggest you go into our website and order that book.
Yeah, it's a
great book.
Common sense.
Yeah, just common sense parenting. And learning the value of money is certainly something that's incredibly important.
It'd be a whole lot better to learn that before you leave home, not after you leave home.
Yeah, and also, let me add, while I'm in here, that he also has that one that God knows how to raise your kids even if you don't.
Yes.
And that book helped me tremendously.
It's just common sense. God's so practical. God's not deep like everybody thinks. Man, that's deep. Well, then that's not God. God gives he ministers to the simple, the easy to understand. He doesn't go deep. It's just, that's why kids love hanging around Jesus. That's why his apostles ask him questions every night. Man, can you explain that again? And he always would. It's just real simple and easy to understand. If it's that deep, probably not God. God's not complicated.
Yeah. So.
Hey, guys, that wraps up another Mailbag Monday. We've had a really good time. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us. We love hearing from you.
Yes.
Please send us your questions and comments, your letters. Send them to mail@joemcgeeministries.com. Hey, you guys, we love you. Thanks so much.
God bless. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.